I'm Chris Carter, and this is the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Today, we're going to talk about the best-case scenarios for how the board could fall in the first round to give the Steelers multiple great options at the 20th overall pick. We'll talk about that with Brian Batko, as well as will the Steelers give a fifth-year extension to Najee Harris and Brian's big board of the top wide receivers the Steelers should be looking at in the first round. All that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined by one of our great Steelers beat writers, Brian Batko, and it's the Friday episode here. We are now less than 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL draft on April 25th. Actually, excuse me. Is that 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
My math is good. We're good.
It's 412 day right now here in Pittsburgh.
So it is 412 day.
412 day to all those who celebrate.
Certainly, and all the Penguins fans out there getting a little bit more to celebrate as they continue their push for the playoffs with Sidney Crosby. We're talking Steelers football here today. As always, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap at all times, and they're switching new ones in and out every single day. And Mike's Beer Bar is the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We'll talk more about them later. Brian, you have an article coming out this weekend that kind of goes over how the board could break for the Steelers in the best way to give them multiple options at their positions of need and the positions they've been looking at closest with their pre-draft visits, combine, Senior Bowl, and all that. And I want us to go step by step through how you could how it could break out. It doesn't mean it is, this is how it is going to break out, but how certain other positions the Steelers may not really get a great chance at. If there's a run there, what that does for the Pittsburgh Steelers draft chances.
Yeah, do this every year, this exercise. The best case mock draft usually comes out 1 week, and then the worst case mock draft for the Steelers comes out the next week. If you've read it before, thank you. It's not necessarily my predictions on what's going to happen.
Right.
But and I will do a full first round NFL mock at some point, but this is just, hey, what if all the other teams sort of act not unrealistically, but in a way that happens to be ideal for the Steelers, with the positions that they need and where they could use the most depth in the draft?
Absolutely. Let's get this started. Actually, let's start going team by team here. The first overall pick is the Bears. You have that probably being Caleb Williams like everyone else.
Yeah. I'll just save you the time. The three quarterbacks, I think it's basically a given that they're going to go 1, 2, 3. And as we go through this too, Chris, it's more about players going to a specific slot before the Steelers are up. So if you want to imagine in your mind that it's a trade down for the Patriots and someone else comes up and picks Drake May or Jaden Daniels third, fine. But it's just about those three going first, which would be the, you know, first positive domino for the Steelers, because I don't think any of us here anticipate them wanting to take a quarterback in the first round.
Right. And then when you get to the Cardinals at fourth overall, they go wide receiver like many people are predicting, right?
Well, not in this. I think the ideal for the Steelers would be if they surprise some people and take Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama. Because again, the Steelers, they're not going to be in the market for an outside linebacker in this first round. If other teams pluck those guys up higher, leave the receivers and the linemen for lower, that's good for the Steelers, obviously. I don't think Turner will go that high in real life, but, you know, it wouldn't be completely outlandish.
And we've certainly seen crazier things happen. I forget the name of the defensive lineman that the Raiders chose the year the Steelers.
Clelin Ferrell.
And like everyone's like, we didn't see that coming. And then all of a sudden there's like, wow, Devin Bush is actually a possibility now. So certainly things like that happen. All right. So you got the Chargers at 5 and the Giants at 6. What happens there?
So I think at 5, the Chargers, if they stay there, really it's almost locked that they're going to take a receiver or a tackle, which would not be great for the Steelers. I've got them taking Joe Alt from Notre Dame, the tackle. And then at 6 with the Giants, I think this is another potential pivot point to benefit the Steelers, whether you think it's New York staying here or maybe Minnesota coming up. I've got J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback, going sixth, and that's going to push. That could be a domino effect on all the other QBs who are potential first-round candidates.
Okay, okay. So in this scenario, J.J. McCarthy, I have seen that. The Giants considering a McCarthy or a quarterback option there, or at least trading to someone who
You see people suggesting somebody could trade up to four and take him. Yeah. So, you know, it's not crazy to suggest that at all.
No, it's not. But now you're sitting here at seven, and the Titans are doing backflips because they got Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers to choose from.
And a tackle. And that's where I'm going to say, again, you can't really avoid, neither one of the top two tackles, I think, are going to have any chance of falling all the way to the Steelers at 20. So I've actually got the Titans taking Olu Fashanu from Penn State to protect Will Levis and give him time to throw to all those receivers they got this offseason.
All right. So now you got me just flexing. I'm like, okay, where the heck is Marvin Harrison Jr. going, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, it seems too low for him, but if there's a school of thought around the league that, hey, this receiver class is so deep, we don't necessarily need to reach and take him. There also could be some debate between him and Malik Nabers. You see that from some of the draft analysts at times. And I'll just take it to pick eight right now. I think probably the team least likely to look to the offensive side of the ball in the first round would be the Atlanta Falcons because of all the help they need on defense, all that they've invested in running back, receiver, tight end, while Arthur Smith was down there. I say they take Jared Verse, Florida State edge rusher, in the best case scenario for the Steelers.
All right, all right. Now the Bears are back up. They got to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
They have to take Marvin Harrison Jr. They would be doing backflips, he and Caleb Williams and everybody, in middle America there if this would come to pass.
Absolutely. So, okay, the Jets here, though, do they follow the wide receiver path here, or maybe they get like Brock Bowers here as a different kind of option?
Yeah, I considered that, but I think, again, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. can't really fall any lower than nine, and I don't think Malik Nabers can fall out of the top 10 with the production and the tape and everything that he's got coming out of LSU. So that, you know, those two receivers going certainly weakens the pull, but much like the linemen, nobody has any designs on the Steelers ending up with those guys. So They have to get picked eventually. If they, you know, if those two guys last to 9 and 10, that's going to have a great trickle down effect on the receivers who should be available, not just in the end of the first round, but throughout the draft.
So I'm right with you. So top 10, you have two wide receivers, two edge rushers, two tackles, and four quarterbacks. Break it down there. I think the next run of teams here, there's four straight teams that could legitimately take a quarterback. Not that they all would, but yeah, I look at the Vikings, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Saints, all with legitimate needs there. And this is where you'd start to see, are they that thirsty for Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr.? In your scenario, is that one of the best case scenarios there for the Steelers that they actually do take two of those players?
Oh, yeah, you're on the same wavelength as me, Chris. And for people at home watching, you know, you haven't seen this because it's coming out. It's going to be in the Sunday paper. I'm not sure when it's going to be online. But, yeah, you're going blind off this, and you're picking up what I'm putting down. I think this is the sort of section of the draft that can most help the Steelers if it falls a certain way. I've got the Vikings taking Quinyon Mitchell, the Toledo cornerback. Okay. They could easily go quarterback, of course. But I don't have them doing that because I've got the Broncos and Raiders both going with QBs. Ooh. Denver takes Bo Nix. Let's just say Sean Payton is in love with him. And Vegas takes Michael Penix Jr. Let's just say they want to kickstart their rebuild with a guy from out there on the West Coast. So those are probably the highest that either one of those could go. But we've seen the NFL get quarterback fever at times. And certainly if six go in the top 13, teams that addressed it through trades and free agency like the Steelers, we'll be feeling very good about who's going to be available to them when they pick.
So that's now you're at by pick 13 in this best case scenario draft, you have five quarterbacks off the board here. I have seen Bo Nix linked to the Broncos quite a few times. So like
that's what I mean. It's probably not going to unfold that way, but I think it's within the realm of possibility. And it's actually six quarterbacks, the big three, McCarthy.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. McCarthy Penix. Six with Penix. Yeah. Jeez. So six of the top 13 picks in your class here and in your scenario here are quarterbacks here at 14. Is that where Roma Dunze goes?
Not quite yet. I've got the Saints taking Byron Murphy, the second Texas D tackle. Oh. as good as he is, and as much as the Steelers kind of have a need for replenishing the defensive line depth, I don't think they're really going to be interested in him at 20 overall. So I consider that another best case scenario pick for the Steelers. And then I've got Rome Odunze from Washington going to the Colts at 15.
Gotcha. All right, cool. So now we're at 15. We got four more picks until that we set up the Steelers board, and then we'll take a break. Real quick for me, who you got? The Seahawks, Jaguars, Bengals, and Rams taken?
Yeah, I mean, I think most likely you're going to get to that third offensive lineman at some point, but the whole premise of this exercise is, what if you don't? What if the Seahawks want Chop Robinson, the edge rusher from Penn State, who's super athletic? He's going to, you know, some people love him. Some people were fading him in this draft. But remember, they've got Baltimore Ravens D coordinator Mike McDonald up there now as the head coach. Might want to spark some things on defense with Chop Robinson. Jaguars Nate Wiggins, Clemson quarterback. For all we know, the Steelers might love him. They had him in for a pre-draft visit. He's got crazy long speed. They went down to the Clemson pro day as usual. But this is all about getting a tackle or a center to the Steelers, or even possibly a wide receiver. Bengals, I've got him taking Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia. Highly doubt he falls that far. He could be a best player at his position in a while in the draft, but I don't think the Steelers would take him in the first round. And then at 19, Rams, they seem destined to go defense. I have them selecting Liatu Latu from UCLA, edge rusher. So the people who'd be left on the board, Chris, for the Steelers: J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims, Taliesa Fuaga, Troy Fautanu,
Liam
Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, even Brian Thomas Jr., LSU wide receiver, and even a couple corners in Cooper DeGene and Terrion Arnold. That would just be that'd be heaven for Omar Khan and the Steelers. The only issue would be the indecision maybe of what to do with all those targets.
I'm with you there. Let's explore those topics a little bit, targets a little bit closer here on the next segment of the North Shore Drive podcast before we roll into our other topics of discussion. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, it's right on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park. It's the best place to go before, during, and after Pirates games, whether they're on the road or at home. You go to Mike's Beer Bar. They have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And they're always switching new ones in and out, whether you like Hefeweizen, Stouts, IPAs, Sours. They have your types of beer there. And if you have a favorite brewery in town, most likely they're at Mike's Beer Bar too. So go check out Mike's Beer Bar for that. And also, they have over 20 televisions. So whether you want to catch the Buccos or another MLB game, or you just want to follow the NHL playoffs as they're getting set up, the NBA playoffs that they're getting set up, there's all the different things that you can track there, as well as the upcoming live draft show that we're going to be at. While Brian and Ray and Jerry at the team facility, I'll be there with Adam Bittner and other guests that we have there on Mike's Beer Bar on April 25th, Thursday night, as well as April 26th on the Friday night, on the first 2 days of the draft. Join us there at Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Okay, let's run through the list of names here that are still available. Brian, you still have Jerzon Newton, by the way, defensive tackle out of Illinois, which finding a new young stud to pair with Keanu Benton would be a need. Now, it ranks well behind the other needs that the Steelers have, but that's an interesting player to have there. But let's look at corner. Let's look at offensive tackle. And let's look at the interior offensive linemen that are left over in your best case scenario there. And again, just a reminder with this is not what Brian's saying is going to happen. This is like an extreme scenario where, like, this is the way you kind of want they're closer to what you want to see the direction break.
Yeah, take it in totality, very unlikely that only two tackles are going to go in the first 19 picks. But when you look at each individual pick, in a vacuum, you can kind of make a case for why, you know, certain teams would make some of the picks that we've mentioned already. And I do research this through, like, the databases that include sort of the range for players, where they could go, where they could not, you know, where they could fall to, what, you know, teams beat writers are predicting. So I'm not just going in there completely blind. I'm trying to keep,
of course not.
Yeah. Trying to keep some level of, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess rationality, what we do here.
So you got six quarterbacks.
The best case scenario, Chris, would be if the 19 punters go before number 20 course, for the Steelers. Yeah.
But don't they need a punter?
19 kickers and long snappers.
So you got six quarterbacks, three edge rushers, three wide receivers, two corners, a defensive lineman, and a tight end among your top 19 picks here in this best case scenario. So again, if we isolate it to just the three top positions, in fact, I'll include four with wide receiver.
Yeah,
so,
you could. I mean, that's the beauty of how this board would unfold for the Steelers. You could go in whatever direction is your flavor for what you think they need the most in this draft, or player for that matter.
So corner-wise, you have Cooper DeJean, you have Terrion Arnold, you have Kool-Aid McKinstry. All three of those guys are players the Steelers have taken a closer look at. Cooper DeJean now scheduled for a top 30 visit that might even happen to later today as we're recording.
And all three kind of have the kind of versatility that I think that the Steelers could use right now in the secondary. As good as Quinyon Mitchell and Nate Wiggins could be as pure line-them-up outside corners, you know, the Steelers already have that guy in Joey Porter Jr. I think they could benefit from somebody who could play outside, play the slot, maybe even roll over to safety at times.
And that's definitely Cooper DeJean's profile. A lot of people even talk about him like he is a safety. But then let's flip to offensive tackle. You got Talisa Fuaga, Troy Fatanu, Amarius Mims, and J.C. Latham all sitting there. That is a smorgasbord of big dudes. It is huge. That's huge. At this point, to be honest, Brian, I know you're probably thinking we'll take anybody. Like if it broke like this, where even say two of these tackles and two of these corners are here, if I'm the Steelers, I might consider trading back a few picks just so I can recoup maybe another day two pick and still get one of these guys.
Yeah, you could trade down, of course. That's always the case, and that's always part of this endeavor as well, is that it shows you not just how things could line up for the Steelers perfectly in the first round, but obviously the effect that it would have, you know, for your needs throughout the draft. Like again, a deep wide receivers class is barely getting picked over before you're even on the clock for the first time. Same thing at tackle, same thing at center. So it can't necessarily continue that way forever throughout the draft, but you know, again, short of the 19 worst draft eligible players being picked before the Steelers are up at number 20. I mean, I think if teams deem some of these edge rushers better than, you know, the outside media seems to think, or, you know, some of these quarterbacks, certainly you never really know what's going to happen there. I mean, we've seen in recent years, it's just as likely that all the JJ McCarthy hype could be a smokescreen put out there by, you know, teams or front offices or whatever, and maybe he'll last well into the first round, and maybe Nix and Penix will be the next. Was it last year that did Will Levis go in the second round, or was he
in the second? Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, you always sometimes see those guys, you know, in danger of slipping entirely. But yeah, I mean, this is an area where the Steelers would be their needs, or at least what we think they view their needs as, and I think a lot of the times their pro day circuit and, you know, certainly the pre-draft visits signal to us whether we're on the same page as them. And with all the tackles, all the receivers, even a couple of the centers that they've been hosting on the south side, it's no secret what the Steelers are after and where they think they need to improve and upgrade. So yeah, if you have all those, you know, all but the top two tackles still on the board, you know, for all we know, Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and Andy White love J.C. Latham over everybody else, or maybe they love Jackson Powers Johnson and say we can still get a pretty good tackle in the second round or receiver or what have you.
And okay, just for your Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin in the war room, it's draft night. This is the board and how it fell. And you're not trading back. Who would be your pick?
Come on, Chris. I was just putting the options out there. I wasn't trying to sit in the GM chair, but no, I think I'd probably take J.C. Latham. I mean, he seems the guy of this list who seems least likely to fall all the way to 20. But you do hear some rumblings about him. Like, why didn't he do any of the athletic testing at the combine? Why did he only do positional drills at his pro day? Is he a little bit on the heavy side? Are you going to have to worry about his weight at the next level? And one interesting thing to file away, if you're hoping that the Steelers would be able to land Latham, there's a fundamental difference, I think, between the value for somebody like Latham or Mims or Fuaga, for that matter, to the Steelers versus a lot of other teams around the league because of getting Broderick Jones and trading up for him last year, they need a right tackle more than most. Other teams are going to look at Latham, Mims, Fuaga and say, man, their right tackle tape in college is really good. We think they could flip over to the left side for us if that's what we need. And, you know, you generally want to use those premium picks on guys protecting the blind side, but it's still a bit of a projection. Maybe we'll go a safer route with somebody else, but that could play right into the Steelers' hands if, you know, if that hurts the value of one of those three guys and allows them to slip all the way to 20. Could be a perfect positional fit for the Steelers, allowing them to flip Jones over to the left side and sort of let Dan Moore, you know, fight for his job at one spot or another.
Absolutely. I think that that's something that could work out in the Steelers' favor in another best case scenario. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask Brian Bacco about the potential of extending Najee Harris and a closer look at his how he built his big board of wide receivers for the Steelers to look at in the first round and beyond. All here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Bacco, stick with us. We'll be right back. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Bacco. Brian, we did a lot of draft talk. Let's take a quick reprieve before we dive right back into it. But I wanted to ask you about Najee Harris. He's due his fifth-year extension if the Steelers were to give it to him. I believe it's May. What's the deadline for them to choose?
May 2. Yeah, May 2nd. So about a week after the draft.
So yeah, like literally a week after the draft starts, and they haven't made this decision yet.
They normally don't. I mean, they usually take it right up to the deadline because why not? I mean, it doesn't – that deadlines spur action, right? We're in the journalism industry. We know that as well as anybody.
This is very true. And they've also been very busy this offseason. Like, you know, compared to back in the Ben Roethlisberger days, they weren't this active in free agency. They weren't this active in trades most years. And then on top of the draft process that they took on, I think that this is certainly a year where they've been very busy. Do you foresee a re-signing happen here? I think the projections right now are it would be a $6.7 million extension for a fifth year, which would be the 2025 season, not the 2024 season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm writing about this for our positional analysis series, which I think we've only got two left before the draft. Running back, it's one of the more cut and dried cases. So the only thing that really is, I mean, we know the Najee Harris, Jalen Warren combo is good, arguably the best in the league. I think there were only two other teams who had two backs in the top 28 in rushing last year, the Lions and the Dolphins. So, yeah, I mean, these guys are They complement each other well. They're a great backfield duo right now. The only question that's really more controversial is how long do you keep them together and why and how do you go about doing it? And obviously that fifth-year option for Najee Harris is going to be the first pivot point there. I think the Steelers will pick that up because of how strong he finished the season. And again, I think his hard running makes Jalen Warren better as well. And with Arthur Smith coming in here, he might even be more of a focal point in the offense. So, I mean, that is how I see it. But are there some things that give you a little bit of pause? Maybe. I mean, he hasn't been a home run hitter by any stretch. His longest run last season was 25 yards. And I don't think he's even had a 40-yard play from scrimmage in his three-year career. So we know he's more of a grinder. We know he's more of an innings eater, to use a baseball term there. He does it well. He's got a nose for the end zone. He rarely fumbles. He's reliable. But at what point does the sort of consistency and lack of dynamic running hold you back from committing a certain salary to him? That'd be a top 10 salary for running backs this year in terms of the cap hit. Do you think he's worth that? I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to for the Steelers. But they've got a pretty cheap offense, which probably helps Najee in that regard. But you're also forecasting and projecting, because you don't know what your quarterbacks are going to cost you next year. You've got Russell Wilson on the vet minimum for this year. You've got Justin Fields with his own fifth-year option decision that I think is an obvious one that you're not going to pick up. But if he gets in there and plays well, you're going to have a whole other equation on your hands. So, and then the only other thing I'll say about Najee Harris, Chris, is as stable and reliable and dependable as he's been on the field, he hasn't always said some of the right things off the field. There have been a couple of times where I think you raise your eyebrows and say, it's a little strange that he's going there. After the Bills game comes to mind, talking about the discipline on the team, lack of in-house rules that need to be better. And he was complimentary of Mike Tomlin, but just didn't sound like a guy who was real pleased with the overall trajectory of things. And I still look back to being a team captain in 2022 and all the talk of cultivating leadership with him and Mike Tomlin being over the moon about how he was stepping up in that regard. And then in 2023, he's not a team captain anymore. I mean, those are just some of the sort of, you know, less significant aspects of a player that just makes me wonder, like, okay, is everything all sunshines and rainbows with this relationship? Or, you know, do they not necessarily want to, you know, use that extra fifth year, whether it's from Najee's end or from the Steelers' end? Do you want to take another season, see how it plays out, and then you could always go back to the negotiating table if you want?
Certainly would be interesting to see how that plays out.
And I don't see them extending him either, Chris, because just that it doesn't really seem like smart business with running backs in today's day and age, especially with all the touches he's gotten. It's cold, it's ruthless, it's brutal. Najee's talked about that himself, you know, well before his own.
And the Steelers are showing they believe in positional value, and positional value does not look at running backs as a position that you pay big money to.
Exactly. And picking him in the first round, that was the Kevin Colbert regime. I think Omar Khan looks at things a little bit more analytically, and, you know, Jaylen Warren is proof right on their roster that sometimes you can get gems in the late rounds or even undrafted. So I don't know that they'll want to jump right back into signing a long-term deal with a guy who's got a lot of tread off the tires, and as good as he's been, he's taken a lot of hits. So you've got an obligation to the organization first and foremost, even though I'm sure they're appreciative of the work ethic and the will to win and will to prepare to win that Najee's brought to the table these 3 years.
Let's take a look here at your wide receiver big board that is now available with the Post-Gazette Steelers draft big board, where myself, you, and Ray Fittipaldo have all contributed to with different positions. You broke down wide receivers. Walk us through your rankings here and where you see them being the best fits for the Steelers' need at getting a wide receiver to pair with George Pickens.
Yeah, I've expanded the rankings since we started this big board in January or February because they traded Deontay Johnson to Carolina. So I think receivers just become a much, much more of a priority for them in this draft, possibly even as high as the first round, as we discussed in the first segment there. But I've now got Adonai Mitchell from Texas, A.D. Mitchell, in my number one slot, mainly because I think it's very unlikely, despite my ideal first round scenario, that Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, or even Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU would be there at 20. So I think the list really for the Steelers kind of starts with that next tier of guys, and I'd put Mitchell at the top there, but he's probably not going to last much past 20. So I think you'd have to use your first round pick on him if you're going to get him. They brought him in for a visit, so we know there is some interest. One interesting note on him, Chris, is, I think you kind of have to consider the dynamic in the room with George Pickens finally being elevated to that clear-cut number one guy. He and Mitchell are close. I mean, they became friends at Georgia. Mitchell transferred to Texas from Athens. So, I mean, Pickens has said that he thinks Mitchell could be the next him at Georgia. Obviously, things went a different direction for Mitchell's college career, but maybe those two guys would get along really well. And, you know, I'd say the same thing for the number two guy on my board here. Ladd McConkey has already played with Pickens at Georgia, has already been in kind of a run first offense. I think he's a guy who would understand that the targets will come when they come and you got to make the most of them. I'd say the same for number three on my list, Roman Wilson. You're seeing a theme from Michigan, not the biggest guy in the draft, not the most productive, but I think he would do the dirty work. He comes from a winning program, the reigning national champs. He's somebody who I think would seamlessly fit into this offense as well.
Certainly. I think it's going to be interesting to see, again, you're not predicting that's how the board's going to fall as far as the wide receivers, but like who would be the most tempting of the wide receivers to fall to the Steelers if Brian Thomas would be available? They talked to him at the combine. He led all of college football with touchdown receptions. He's also one of the best deep threats in college football the past year. You know, getting that on a team where, you know, I've talked about how both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, if you looked at their passer rating was at its best when they were throwing the deep ball last year, looking at their targets. So would getting a guy like that behoove them? But again, weighing that against getting a first round corner or a first round tackle, when you look at the guys that you have listed here, like you and I have talked about, we both like Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, Malachi Corley. any of those guys in the second round, or Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, those would all be guys that would be plug and play, and like they'd start off as number two options to George Pickens, but those are all guys that could develop into number one options for the Steelers in the long run. And then you still have guys like Jalen Polk, who's another big time threat out there. And again, that's just the top 10 wide receivers. This is a draft class where there's probably going to be 20 wide receivers that people are looking at as like, hey, that guy could be a real problem for defenses to cover in the NFL.
And you're seeing the reaction to that around the league, I think. I mean, the Niners are dragging their feet and paying Brandon Ayuk. You know, the Bengals are avoiding doing that with T. Higgins and possibly shopping him. The Bills did shop and trade Stephon Diggs to the Texans. I mean, I just think there's so many teams and GMs right now and scouting departments who are really thinking the same way we are with this receiver class. And, you know, it's interesting how that's affected the movement of veteran receivers, the Steelers being one of them. With Deontay Johnson, I think we all know they weren't going to pay him again for his services beyond next season. So you at least get out from under that contract while getting something in exchange instead of letting him walk for nothing, and even dealing with the whole potential hold-in situation again if he was going to go that route. But I also do wonder, how is it going to affect the stock of the receivers in this particular draft? I mean, I still think that prospects like Harrison and Neighbors and Adunze and Thomas are so good that somebody is going to be enamored with them and take them in the top 20. But, you know, if not, is there a little bit of a, you know, a trickle down effect? Could AD Mitchell be there in the second round for the Steelers, or at least fall to a place where maybe they trade up for him? I think that's the only way he would land here. Otherwise, yeah, I'm standing pat at 51, and, you know, I'm kind of scanning the board and seeing who's still left, whether that is a Wilson, Pearsall, Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky, you know, Xavier Worthy from Texas lit up the 40-yard dash. We'll see how high that pushes him up in the draft. You know, even sort of down the line guys like Devontae Walker from UNC has a lot to like. Jalen Polk was in an explosive offense at Washington. Keon Coleman has some highlight reel catches at Florida State. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. Bittner and I have talked about Brendan Rice on the mock draft tracker from USC. So yeah, I just really think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams who they're going to come away from this draft with a rookie receiver who they are ready to plug and play from day one. And, you know, not only do you get younger, possibly more athletic, possibly more dynamic in your receiving core right away, but you also start taking advantage of those guys before they get to the point where they're commanding Stephon Diggs, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk money later on in their career if they pan out.
Absolutely. He's Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can find all his work at post-gazette.com, whether it's his upcoming best-case scenario mock draft where the Steelers could get several things to work in their favor to give them a smorgasbord of options in the first round, as well as all of our big board predictions or big board outlook on this NFL draft class.
And we can talk about the worst case next week. We'll play sad trombone. We'll strum a tiny violin when all these guys go before the Steelers are at 20. That'll be just as fun in a more, you know, dark kind of way.
Yeah, certainly. But again, the point of these exercises are to go between the different extremes to find the medium that usually this falls into to look at what the Steelers could do. Again, he's Brian Batko. I'm Chris Carter. We're both at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Read our work at post-gazette.com. Find us here on the North Shore Drive podcast, on your favorite podcasting apps, and on YouTube. Remember, the North Shore Drive podcast is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But you can also catch all the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers across the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Back Monday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.